This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart." Yes, the word of God is living and effective today in my life and in yours. And that's the very reason why I'm offering this weekly podcast where I reflect upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. So now, please join me on Faith Moments with Dina Marie as we break open the Word of God together, inviting His Word to change our lives forever. Greetings. Welcome to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, a weekly podcast where we proclaim and ponder our Sunday Mass readings. Well, today we're entering the 28th Sunday of Ordinary Time into the 28th Sunday or the 28th week in our liturgical year, which means we're getting closer to the close of our liturgical year, which will be at the end of November. And before we get into the readings and our theme for today, just a couple of things I wanted to mention to you. Number one, thank you to all of you who came to the Rosary Bowl Northwest on the first Saturday of October in Salem, Oregon. It was a beautiful gathering of people from all different areas. I met a lady from Medford. I met folks from up in Castle Rock. So from north and south, east and west, people came together to pray the Rosary. We had the opportunity for the healing sacrament of confession, Mass with Bishop Peter Smith, and a beautiful rosary and adoration with our local priest, Father John Marshall, as well as the rosary, and then a keynote speaker. So it was just a beautiful day to come together. And I would really encourage you that this is once a year that we come together as a large faith community. And so you may have other First Saturday activities going on the first Saturday of October, but would you change for 2026 and just bring your group, bring your parish, bring that celebration together in unity with your brothers and sisters in Christ? So the date will be October 3rd, Lord willing, and I'll keep you updated with all of the details. Also, a big thank you to Mater Dei Radio, our local Catholic radio station serving Oregon and Southwest Washington. It's great to have a mouthpiece for the Catholic Church on the West Coast, and Mater Dei Radio has been doing that for over 35 years. Next week, from the 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th of October, will be their Fall Share-a-thon, a time to support, a time to pray, a time to give thanksgiving, but a time to really continue to feed that voice of evangelization, not only on the radio broadcast, but on the website, on the Hail Mary media app. There is a constant presence of evangelization of the Catholic voice, of the voice of Jesus Christ through Mater Dei Radio. It's Our Lady's radio station, and I would encourage you to listen. And I would encourage you to support. I hope that you will tune in on Tuesday morning. I'll be one of the guests there live in studio at 8 o'clock. So if you can support that hour and help us meet our goal that hour on Tuesday, October 14th, I would love to hear from you and to hear your support for Mater Dei Radio. And finally, for those of you women out there listening, I would love to have you join us for our Saints and Souls Women's Retreat. This is the second of its kind at Mount Angel Abbey. There's a beautiful St. Benedict guest house and retreat center that we'll be using for the weekend. It'll be October 31st, which is a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll close our day, our weekend together on the Feast of All Souls. We'll also celebrate the feast or the solemnity of All Saints. And it'll be a beautiful weekend to get away from your daily routine, to enter into quiet, enter into a time of retreat with the Lord. We'll be praying with the monks. There's some
special things happening there at the monastery because of all saints and all souls, including a relic display, a talk about the saints and the relics. You'll get to go behind the scenes of the sanctuary. Normally, you can't get behind where the monks are and the altar, but there's like this cool area that will be like filled with relics. And one of the brother monks will be talking a little bit more about that. And we also have a special opportunity to witness a life-size replica of the Holy Shroud of Turin. This is known to be the burial cloth of Jesus. Now, we don't have the original, but we have a life-size replica that will be in our adoration chapel. And this is just for our retreatants. So if you'd like to come along on this retreat, click the link below or visit dinamarie.org. And I hope you register for this women's retreat. All right. With all of that, again, it's the 28th Sunday in ordinary time. And there is a threefold level of gratitude that we see expressed today from our readings. And that really ties me to this word metanoia, this change, this conversion, that when we have an experience with God, if we're truly open, it should change radically our whole life and how we live it. So let's listen to the readings and explore how that affects those who we're reading about today and what that means for your life and for my life. Let's begin in prayer. Let us pray. May your grace, O God, we pray, at all times, go before us and follow after, and make us always determined to carry out your good works. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. A reading from the second book of Kings. Naaman went down and plunged into the Jordan 7 times at the word of Elisha, the man of God. His flesh became again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean of his leprosy. Naaman returned with his whole retinue to the man of God. On his arrival, he stood before Elisha and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Please accept a gift from your servant." Elisha replied, "As the Lord lives whom I serve, I will not take it." And despite Naaman's urging, he still refused. Naaman said, "If you will not accept, please let me, your servant, have 2 mule loads of earth, for I will no longer offer holocaust or sacrifice to any other god except to the Lord." The word of the Lord. The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. His right hand has won victory for him, his holy arm. The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. The Lord has made his salvation known. In the sight of the nations, he has revealed his justice. He has remembered his kindness and his faithfulness toward the house of Israel. The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation by our God. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Break into song. Sing praise. The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. Such is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of chains, like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I bear with everything, for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, together with eternal glory. This saying is trustworthy. If we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we persevere, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithful, for he cannot deny himself. The word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice, and he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go back to the book of Kings, the second book of Kings, and the story of Naaman. And we didn't get the whole story, but Naaman is an army commander. In fact, his army fights the Israelites. So he's a Gentile. He's not a Jew. He doesn't believe in the one true God. And yet through some of these battles, there was this little girl that was taken as a slave. She's an Israelite. She's like 12 years old, and she's taken to work for and to serve the wife of Naaman. And so it's this little girl who says to the wife and then to Naaman, "Well, Naaman has this leprosy, and if you want to be healed, you should go to Elisha because he's a prophet of the Lord. He's a Jew. He believes in the one true God." And so there's this kind of, Naaman wants this kind of spectacular way of being healed, but he eventually listens to the instructions of the prophet Elisha. And Elisha just says, "Go dip your body," because of course we know that your body is completely disformed and affected by this disease. "Go bathe in the Jordan," kind of this dirty water, "and trust what I say." And so Naaman does, he becomes obedient. He becomes obedient to the prophet, even though at first he wasn't convinced. And yet something inside him decided to trust and to be obedient to the man of God, this prophet. And as he dipped himself into the water, think about baptism, right? When we dip ourselves into the water 3 times in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, this initiation of healing, this first initiation, this first sacrament that brings us into the church, Naaman is cleansed of this physical defect, of this deformation, of this leprosy. And what happens is there's this, what I call metanoia. There's this complete change. Not only does he recognize that he's physically healed, but something happens within Naaman. And he says, and he comes back to the prophet of God, and he says, "Now I know that there's no other God other than your God, the God of Israel." That he recognizes, number one, he's thankful. He's certainly grateful. This is the first part of this gratefulness in a transformation, in a conversion, that he's grateful. He's truly grateful for what has happened to him. Physically, something has changed. But now he says, "I recognize that change, that healing came from God." That the source, it wasn't just from Naaman, and Naaman's, it wasn't from the prophet of God, Elijah, excuse me, but it was God himself who brought about the healing. And in fact, this army commander that has this high ranking is now calling himself a servant to the prophet Elisha, so much so that he wants to give gifts to the prophet. And the prophet says, no, I can't accept a gift. This is God's gift. And so there's this recognition in this conversion of Naaman that God is the source of all healing. You know, Elisha, the prophet, is the messenger. He's an instrument. He's being used by God, but he isn't God. It's God who gives the grace. It's God who gives the healing. It's God who's the source of all healing. And Naaman recognizes this in this deep, deep amount of gratitude. He recognizes God's healing power. And then he wants to be a servant. He wants to serve the prophet. And the prophet won't accept that. But Naaman says, okay, can I have some of this soil of the land of the God of Israel, so I can worship properly? He is guided into a deep realization that now I want to worship. I'm going to change the way I live to the point of worshiping the one true God. And if that means all I can do is get that soil, this is the soil of the God of Israel. It was what they understood of that time. It might seem odd to us, but this is what reminded him who the power is. It's the one true God of Israel. And so his whole life changed, that he began to recognize there is holy ground in the one true God. At the end of this scripture, we have, for I will no longer offer holocaust or sacrifice to any other God except to the Lord. That's a real conversion. Not only did he get a physical healing, but he had a conversion of heart. He had a healing that brought salvation into his life. That's the kind of healing. That's the kind of metanoia. That's the kind of gratitude that we're called to experience. And it's reflected in this one refrain of the psalm we hear today. The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. That says to me that God is the one who brings about salvation. God is the one who brings about the healing, that the power comes from God. Now, in the letter that we hear from St. Paul, he's reminding us that that's through Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is the one who died. It's through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection that we have salvation. And if we have died with him, if we have died through the baptism, we will also live with him. We'll also rise with him. And we persevere in our life with Christ. Paul is persevering to the point of death, through the point of his being imprisoned and in chains. He even reveals something that we talk about, that's written about a lot. I think of Pope St. John Paul II, who wrote a lot about redemptive suffering, that I will experience hardship. We see this in Paul's life. He's experiencing hardship and suffering so that others may obtain salvation. I've heard a lot of this redemptive suffering recently in hearing the audiobook written by Archbishop Fulton Sheen, now Venerable Fulton Sheen, who writes a lot about the different types of suffering that he endured to benefit the salvation of others, of sinners, of those who had come to him. They might claim to be an atheist. They might claim to not believe in God. And he would offer and he would undergo sufferings on behalf of others. And God would work through those sufferings, as what's happening in the life of St. Paul. And he says, if we are unfaithful, God remains faithful. God is such a merciful love. Now, if we deny God, it does say that he will deny us. If at the end of our life, we deny him, we refuse him, we don't want to have anything to do with God, he will honor that. But even if we sin, even if we fall short, he's going to be faithful to us. And that should give us some hope. Here's this reading in the story of these lepers. And we're continuing in the Gospel of Luke chapter 17. And we're reminded at the beginning of this section of the gospel that Jesus is continuing to go to Jerusalem. He's continuing on his mission of his passion. We know that he's going to be crucified. We know he's going to be put to death unjustly. We know that he's pouring himself out for the salvation of the world. And on this road, he goes through an area which is through Samaria. These are not these Samaritans are not in alliance with the Jews, right? They're separate. There's a hostility between the Jewish people and the Samaritans over time. And he goes through Galilee. And so these lepers come, and we can, the commentaries that I've read have said, we can assume that these lepers could be a combination of Samaritans and Galileans. So even though they would have been at odds in their villages, now that they're ostracized as lepers and they need to live outside of the community, they're completely taken out of their community. They live an awful life. They're unclean. And if you read in the Old Testament, Leviticus and some other books, talk about this ostracizing of lepers. We read about that again with the accounts of the life of St. Damian of Molokai, as the people threw, the people on the islands of Hawaii kind of just abandoned these people because of the leprosy, and they didn't understand. And so they put them out in this horrible area, and they were left to really die a horrible death. And Damien and then some religious sisters went to care for the souls of these men and women who are affected by leprosy. But so we hear about these 10 who must have heard about Jesus, must have heard and must have had enough hope and enough faith that this man of God, this prophet of God, whatever they believed of Jesus, they asked for his mercy, have pity on us. And they came with a sense of faith that they would be healed. And Jesus saw these lepers. And then he just simply said, go show yourselves to the priest. Because if a leper was to be healed, and if there was a healing to take place, the priest would be the one that would authenticate that. And the priest would be the one that would bring that person back into the community. And so they did what Jesus asked of them, even before they were healed. And at some point in that movement, it says they were cleansed. And then it says one of them realized he was cleansed, returned, not only just returned, but glorifying God in a loud voice. I mean, he was like fired up. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine what it would have been like for these lepers to have been taken away from their families. A lot of times, if it was just, let's say it was the husband. So you've got to be out far off out of the village. Your body's deformed. You can't see your wife or children. You can't see your friends. You can't run your business anymore. So now what's going to happen to your wife and children? I mean, just the horrible life that this leper, and then you're living amongst the lepers. You're all in misery. You're all in misery, and you don't have any hope of getting better. You're just going to be left to die a horrible death. But this person recognized that he was healed. I say he, it could have been a she, but recognized they were healed, and they just glorified God, and they recognized that was Jesus. The power of God came through Jesus to help me. So here's this amount of gratitude, not only being grateful, but now I recognize God is the source of that. And now I want to go worship the one like Naaman, I want the soil that reminds me that this is the holy ground, that God is present. I want to go to that God. And it's the Samaritan who's had this separation from the Jewish community and the priests and God not having a true recognition of the one true God. It's the Samaritan who comes back. And Jesus says, you know, is it only the Samaritan, this foreigner, who comes back to recognize God's healing power? And the last sentence that Jesus says is the kicker. He says, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you? No. It says your faith has saved you. So he's been healed. You know, and many of us maybe have experienced a physical healing. But it's more than that. Naaman, in the first reading, got more than that physical healing. He was healed from the leprosy, thanks be to God. But he took that healing even deeper, that he had a metanoia. He had a change that now he's gotten salvation. Now this Samaritan has gotten salvation. You know, think about, what if that Samaritan went on to be with the band of followers of Jesus? He might have. You know, Jesus invites him to go now because he's been saved. He's been saved by Jesus Christ. That's where, you know, do you feel like you're entitled? Well, I should get, that's a horrible word to say. I should get the Eucharist. I deserve communion. We don't deserve anything. We don't deserve anything. There's some wonderful reflections in this week's commentary for In Conversation with God. St. John Chrysostom wrote that the gifts we receive from God greatly exceed the grains of sand on the seashore. You know, we don't deserve any of those gifts, but God loves us. One's life should be a continual act of thanksgiving. You know, to be thankful, to be truly thankful, to know that God is the source of all that. It's not because of my own merits. It's not because I'm such a good person. It's not because I just went to confession. I just did a novena. I just gave a bunch of money to a nonprofit. It's not because of anything that you do. It's because of who you are. Let us not forget that the Samaritan, listen to this. This convicts my heart. Let us not forget that the Samaritan came to know Jesus Christ. How? How did that Samaritan come to know Jesus Christ? Because of a dreadful disease. Are you avoiding a dreadful disease? Are you avoiding a suffering or a difficulty? Read St. Paul. We enter into Jesus Christ through that pain and suffering, through that difficulty, through being a sinful person, through being one of his sheep. The lesson is to have faith and to be docile to those who speak in the name of the Lord. The lepers obeyed the Lord and went on their way as if they had already been healed. Because of their faith and docility, they were freed from their infirmity. There is a purpose. There's a call for us to be obedient, to follow the instruction of the church, to follow the voice of the Lord. And here's the final thing I want to share, because it's just powerful. What better words may we carry in our heart, pronounce with our mouth, write with a pen, than the words, thanks be to God? There is no phrase that may be said so readily, that can be heard with greater joy, felt with more emotion, or produced with greater effect. Gratitude is a wonderful virtue. Amen to that. Let us close in prayer. O God and giver of all gifts, you have filled our cups to overflowing with the blessings of life, and all that sustains life, especially the new life given to us through the cross of Jesus Christ. Inflame us with the spirit of gratitude that we may ever return thanks, especially through our Eucharistic worship, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thanks be to God.
You have been listening to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, reflections upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. New podcast episodes are released weekly through the generous support of Mater Dei Radio. To learn more about Faith Moments with Dina Marie, visit me online at dinamarie.org. That's dinamarie.org. May you have a blessed week.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.